Thank you, Madam Chairperson. To begin with, I'm not going to apologize, but I think I need to clarify. I am neither an economist nor a researcher. So what I'm going to present is my experience over the last 5 years in the field of fighting corruption. And this involvement has been mainly with women. Where there are 200 women, there are 4 men. Where there are 40 student volunteers who help in right to information, there are 4 boys amongst 36 women students. So that is the general environment, or the gender environment, should I say, in which I have been functioning for the last 5 years. So what is this, what I have to clarify to begin with, is what is this public distribution system with which I'm working? You see, in Delhi itself, and in all of India, we have a very large number of people who are living what we call below the poverty line, and whom the government gives a subsidy for food. So people who are below the poverty line, generally called BPL, have ration cards. And these ration cards entitle them, they give them an identity, and they also give them the possibility of getting food, rice, wheat, and kerosene oil in order to be able to cook their food, because these are very, very poor people. Their income level is the level of 2,000 rupees a month, which roughly works out to around $40 a month, very low. But what has been happening is that the public distribution system, to which the government budgets something like $50 billion a year, this amount actually doesn't get to the poor people. And there is so much corruption on the way that the money spent, the taxpayers' money goes, but the food doesn't reach the poor. So how were, you know, there was a lot of problem. And one of our prime ministers, Rajiv Gandhi, in the 1980s said publicly that where we are spending 100 rupees, only 15 are reaching in subsidy, food subsidy to the poor. But the fact is that it is not only that 15 came down to the level of 3. 3 out of 100 was reaching. The rest was not reaching at all. In Delhi, it was almost negligible. I mean, you couldn't see who got the ration which they're supposed to get by the government. So there is an area in Delhi, in the east part of Delhi, across the river, which consists of poor settlements of migrant labor, which comes from UP and Bihar, from 2 adjoining regions. These are very, very poor people. They are labor wage earners, and their families, with great difficulty, are able to procure ration cards. The procedure is that when a person has a ration card, can go to a ration shop and should be able to get their entitlement of wheat, rice, and kerosene. But that doesn't happen. And the men of these households, they are the wage earners, they leave early in the morning and they come after working as laborers the whole day, they come back at night. It is the women who go to fetch, to buy the ration, and it is the women who, there is no running water, there are hand pumps, the women who get water, the women who look after the children, these are slum areas. So our office is there, of this organization with which I'm working, Parivartan, in Sundar Nagari, one of these depressed settlement areas. So what we found is that the women were never able to get what they wanted. Day after day, we saw that the ration cards were empty. There was no record that they had got anything. But the point is that the ration shops, the shopkeepers were making money, enormous amount of money, because they were getting the subsidized food and selling it in the black market, in the open market, actually, and this was all black money. They just made money. They never gave where it should have gone. So what was the way of tackling this? There was after a lot of thinking, a lot of trying, in the 1980s, in the mid-1980s, social activists came to the conclusion that there was only one way of really breaking into this mafia rule. And that one way was that we get hold of the information which every ration shop has to supply to the food commission in order to get the supplies. The trader, when he gets the supplies, has to give an account of where he has sold, to whom he has sold, and how much he has sold. He has the list of ration card names, the numbers of the cards, and he makes fictitious accounts of to whom he has sold. If we are able to get those fictitious accounts, then we can take him to task. We can actually make the food commission accountable. This money, the taxpayers' money, which is being pocketed by the mafia, can only be handled by making the government accountable. So the slogan for the right to information was our money and accountability. Hamara paisa, hamara hisab. And so we started mobilizing people, and people meant women, because men were just not there from morning till night. So the women were willing to go with us. They were, I think, initially skeptical. But as time went, from mid-1980s, when the right to for information, when actually activists started to ask for the right to information, and up to 2005, 2001 in Delhi, it was a constant struggle to get this legislation passed. And it was a great achievement for civil society and for social activists that finally this bill was passed in Parliament. The bill saying that it was the right of every citizen to ask for information from government on anything, which would include public records of public distribution system. So once having got this, in fact, it was a very, very long struggle, a very difficult struggle, but once this act was passed, and in Delhi it was passed in 2001 October. And mind you, what is beautiful about this whole process is that this is the first act in India. It was the very first act, the second one came later, which was totally drafted, written by civil society, by social activists, after studying the Right to Information Acts in 57 countries. And it is a strong act. It includes in it penalties for those officials of government who refuse to give information. So from the day that it was passed, there was a move towards asking for the information records, for the records from those, from the Food Commission, of where this food was going. And after 6 months of terrific procedure and a lot of struggle, the first records arrived. And here there was a woman who played a very interesting role. We had amongst us in that locality a widow whose name is Triveni. It was written that Triveni, and her ration card number was given in the records, that Triveni was given 10 kilos of rice, 15 kilos of wheat, and so many liters of kerosene every month. Month by month, the accounts were given. And her thumbprint was given. Most of these women are illiterate, so they can't sign their names. When Triveni saw this, she is literate. She was outraged. And she said to the food commissioner, she said, look, I can sign. Whose thumb impression is this? This is a fraud on me. And in any case, I haven't got anything. And my ration card is empty. There is not a single I haven't received an ounce, even 100 grams, 10 grams of food. So this is a fraud on me. This matter came up to the media. It was shown in the newspapers, and there was a little bit of a flutter in the food commissioner's office. The ration shop owners became a little concerned, but they thought this was easy to handle. They went to her and they offered her 20,000 rupees. Here is a woman who earns hardly 2,000 a month. She was offered 20,000 and she refused. Her refusal created a furore amongst the women in Sundarnagari. And then we had our first public hearing. With the right to information, what usually takes place is, after getting records, we have a public hearing where there's a panel of judges, lawyers, media personalities, and credible public figures who are on the panel. The food commissioner's officials are invited, the police officials are invited, the ration shop owners are invited. And then each piece of information relating to that, the ration card holder can present the case. And when Triveni's case came up, she was so articulate. It was amazing. And then we had one after the other, the women coming up and saying, I have got nothing. Here is my ration card, empty. There's not a single mark on the pages. And all this is fictitious. The result of these hearings, the first big hearing was held in 2002, after 1 year of serious work. And the result was that the matter went political, went to the media, and the media did something even further. One of the leading television companies, NDTV, in New Delhi, did a sting operation, and it chased at night with the camera, trucks loaded with food, with grain, going with the shopkeepers, you know, these traders, from the Food Corporation of India. It is meant for the very poor, but it is taken and taken to mills where the flour is made and which is sold in the open market. This was a half an hour program on television. And then there was a big meeting of minds between television, newspapers, and activists and civil society and these women. And there was a nationwide campaign on the right to information, especially for the public distribution system of food. This was in July 2006. And the first big achievement was that all the resistance from the food commissioner's office to give the records, that resistance was broken, because the chief minister of Delhi gave orders that nobody is going to resist giving information on this, on how food is distributed. There was much jubilation, and those ration shop owners who were really very much at fault, their licenses were withdrawn. Women started getting food. Something was done, and we went further. But it was not so easy. The ration shop owners also did another thing, and that was they finally took to violence. They thought if the women have to face some violence, and if the social activists have to face violence, they might withdraw. One of our workers was actually attacked. The first attack, she just about escaped. In the second one, she was on her way from her home to the workplace, and two men came on a motor bicycle and they cut her throat with a very sharp knife. We thought she wouldn't survive, took her to hospital, but she made it. you know, she's the daughter of a, she lives in that area. She was one of, she was the leading person who got the information. She was our, she is still our best worker. And the women were absolutely amazed at what was happening, and they were with her. The day she returned from hospital, I went to see her, and I remember I had to wait through 200 women who were all outside in the streets. Their only slogan was, "Tell us what we should do." This was then taken up at a very high level politically. And finally, what happened after this was that the Chief Minister of Delhi gave orders to the Food Commissioner's office that every week for 2 hours, the records of food distribution by the ration shopkeepers will be available for public investigation. And this is one of the biggest things that RTI, the right to information, we call it RTI now, has achieved. And the women of Sundar Nagari, Salem Puri have achieved themselves. And you cannot imagine how excited they are. And they are willing to go with right to information in other fields. That is happening, and we're going into education. And now, the latest is, just before I came, that they decided that Santosh, this woman who was attacked, who has been the engine to get all the information, that she, they want to put her up for in the local election, municipal election, to be their councillor. So we have reached that stage. And I think I have just perhaps a minute. I would like to end this experience of ours by saying, where have we reached? Where have we arrived? We have arrived at a point where in the recent elections, some of you are aware that, or probably all of you are aware, we had elections in India recently. And the party, the Congress party, which actually had moved the Right to Information Bill and the National Rural Employment Guarantee Act, that these were the two achievements which it went to the public with. That, look, we have given you the right to information, we have given you National Rural Employment Guarantee. And these two have raised enormous hope. It's not true that corruption has been completely finished. I'm only speaking of Delhi, where the public distribution system, I have an experience. But in the rest of the country, there is still much to be done. There is a lot to be done. But this is the achievement now. And as we've crossing the Atlantic, coming this side, there was an article I read in the Newsweek, which was giving an estimation of Prime Minister's achievements. And the two achievements also recorded by Newsweek was the Right to Information and the National Rural Employment Guarantee Act. So there is much to be done, but to remember is that women are very much behind this because they are very affected. And as I said, where there are 200 women, there are 4 men. So this is the situation of the right to information. Thank you very much.